Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. 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 Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my room.
Hello, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. I can't believe it's been a long time, but I feel like we just spoke.
I know. It's been about a month, I think.
A lot going on.
Some technical, some life, you know.
Well, happy Tuesday.
Right. I don't even know what day of the week it is.
These weeks are rolling by. It's about to be winter time again.
It's about to be October. 2022. I don't know how it happened.
Right.
That's the crazy thing.
Maybe 2022 will be better than 2020 and 2021.
2021 started off, I think, pretty rough. I think it's going better than it was. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
There's so much going on. There's a lot going on. It makes no sense. Every month there's always stuff going on.
And I still don't watch the news, so I don't even know what's going on.
I mean, it's just, like, the whole Haiti thing, I'm just flabbergasted.
I can't even be flabbergasted because I'm not surprised.
It's just crazy, though. And you think, okay, it's 2021, we've evolved as people, and it's just like, no, we're right back to 1920s, 1950s. Like, it's crazy just to see the pictures and to hear, you know, and for people to have to sneak into the country when we should be helping other countries that are dealing with stuff.
And then they had the nerve to say, oh, we just won't use the horses anymore. Like, the horses were the problem, really?
I just don't get that whole setup. Like, the horses are the lasso? Like, you're lassoing people? Like, this is back in the day?
Right. But then they said it was the horses. Like, really? The horses are not the issue.
They're trying to blame it on the horse.
Yeah, blame everybody else but yourself. I see Dad.
Oh, hi, Daddy.
Hello, everybody.
I see Daddy on. Hello.
Yeah, we were just talking about Haiti and everything that's going on and just, you know, how we've not evolved as a people, even though we're 2021 and have electric cars and, you know, all that good stuff.
Well, what I can tell you from my perspective is that we have grown, but the arrogant ignorance perceived to be the insecurity of white supremacy has not.
Mm.
They're the same people they have always been. They have never changed. And when y'all were growing up, I never really tried to get into it too much. But your mother knew what I was talking about, you know, because I would talk to her about it. But the bottom line is that this is how they've always been. I'm surprised that we're surprised. Look,
right.
What's going on right now as it relates to right now we're focused on the Republican Party, but we got some dumb Democrats in there. Because I've always seen the Democrats as much of a problem as the Republicans are. Malcolm taught us. Democrats are sly foxes and Republicans are brute wolves, but they both belong to the dog family.
Exactly.
So I have never really had faith in this system. Because like I said before, fam, and I'm doing some work on this now because now I'm beginning to realize something. the Indo-European cultures, from the moment they came out of the Ice Age, they have never been able to maintain a civilization more than 500 years. The Persians, they lasted 200 years. The Greeks that took it from them lasted about 300 years. The Romans lasted about 449 years. And then after the Roman Empire, they went into the Dark Ages. And it wasn't until Moors went in 710 and brought those Europeans out of the Dark Ages and also saved them from the total decimation, the destruction of Europe through the bubonic plague. And so it wasn't until 1492 that Europeans, because of what the Moors did for them, were able to crawl themselves out of the hell that they were living in. And now we're at the end of this 1492. They have never maintained a civilization ever beyond 500-600 years. And the old kingdom of Kush Kemet alone lasted over 2,200 years. The Moors lasted over 700 years because of the way they established their civilization. This is not, and you know something else what's interesting? There's books written on it. There's people talk about it. Do you know how much this civilization lost by the enslavement of African people and the denial of the rights of women? Do you know how much creativity? Do you know where we would be in medicine? Space travel, if African-American and peoples of the diaspora, if Europeans, instead of enslaving people, had let everybody flourish, this civilization lost untold trillions of dollars by the enslavement of African people and the same enslavement of the women. They've lost trillions of dollars, but the trade-off was that they'd be in charge. They were willing to lose trillions of dollars as long as they were in charge. Slavery cost, the enslavement of African people cost this civilization untold trillions of dollars. Just think about that. When you hear people talk about how wonderful this is and about how, what a great civilization this is, no, it's not. Everybody talking about, you know, what are they doing to democracy? America has never been democratic, ever.
Right.
From its founding in 1492, if you want to use that as a date, or 1526, whatever you want to use, America has never been a democracy. Never. So I don't see why people thinking that we losing something we ain't never had. And they ain't never been Christian either. But that's not the point. Okay.
But they're trying to make up for it now, and not make up in a good way. But right now, everything that Black people are good at, it's being stolen. So they realize that they lost out on a lot of money, and now they're trying to make up for it. But instead of letting people flourish, it's like you said about the patent office. People have ideas, and then they get stolen.
You know, I understand exactly why we do what we do. I may not be doing it the way they do it. When you talk about the different things that we're going through now, with the pandemic and with all the things that the pandemic has brought, the voting and all of that, I understand exactly why we're doing it, no matter what side of the fence we're on. I say Black folk have a right to feel that way. And if you think, and as it relates to the medical profession and Black folk, I just came upon a book that I would recommend everybody get. Not just Medical Apartheid by Dr. Harriet Washington. Get the book called Acres of Skin. Get the book and read what happened. And then look at Black folk and say, why don't you trust us? Just read the book Acres of Skin and see what has happened to Black people in the medical profession.
That sounds crazy.
And what they have done to Black people in the medical profession. We have to get ourselves together, fam. That's what I've told you from the beginning, Sasha Kondike. It's up to us. It's not up to them. They're acting the way they're acting because they're acting the way they're acting. It is in their nature. When you go out and you see a wolf, you better be prepared to deal with the wolf. And if you go out there unprepared for the wolf and the wolf acts in the nature of the wolf, then you can't blame them because they're acting mm-hmm. in their nature. The problem is you're not. This is a wolf out here. This is a predator. That's what his civilization is built on. It's preying on people. And just like a virus, they always prey on the weakest, the ones that don't have the defense mechanisms to protect themselves. But when you have a defense mechanism, they're a bunch of cowards. They've always been and they always will. And until we get to understand that and understand what we're dealing with and speak in the language that we're spoken to, because we're trying to speak Spanish to someone who speaks German. Ain't going to be no understanding. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Time for forward thinking. Hey, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes sang that back in the day. Wake up, everybody. Mm-hmm. No more sleeping in bed.
Funny how relevant.
No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead.
So speaking of you speaking, so I decided to listen to your live the other day that went from Kamakamine to Panther Prince production. And I was listening to it like, oh my goodness. So I would like to give you, I would like you to give everybody a little bit of what you were talking about, because I found that it was so interesting. You know, I knew about the Lion King and the Asarian drama, and I did my book report in college about it. You remember. And I just found it so interesting. But the way you were breaking down Star Wars, I just, I was listening like, oh my. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like censorship and blocking is not about a threat. It's about education. Everything that they want us to see, everything, you know, and even the people that we think are against us, and I'm not justifying, but even those the people that we think are against us are part of are pawns also. The pawns are black, and there's black and white pawns. There's pawns on both sides. So I honestly believe that the things that they want to silence, you know, you educate black people, white people, people that speak Spanish, people that speak French, whether they're melanated or unmelanated, you educate everyone. And they understand. The moment that everybody starts to be on the same page, the people that are in power don't have power anymore. And the same way that people believe in spirituality, when you think of spirituality, you think of goodness. There are bad spirits, too. So there's spirituality where there's the negative spirits are just as strong as what we consider to be the positive spirits. So just because we talk about spirituality, it's not always a good thing. So I really did want you to, you know, give a little overview of, because, you know, if anybody hasn't had the opportunity to see it, it's really like, I was so mad because I didn't get to watch the live, and I was so upset that it cut off at some point, and then I was glad that there was a continuation, so I got to watch the second half. But it just was, you know, if you want to, I would really like to spend some time talking about what you were talking about, because I really found it to be fascinating.
That's interesting. Like you say, you know, one of the greatest threats that Malcolm offered, this is where the threat was. Oh, well, to my estimation, one of the threats of Malcolm. When he came back as El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, when he came back after having toured the world, his worldview was very different. It was transformative. Mm-hmm. Transformative is the point I'd like to make. Not so much different or that he changed. It transformed. When you travel, travel does something as it relates to your worldview. You see things differently. And when Malcolm returned as a transformative individual. And his greatest threat was that he was now beginning to gain attention from people outside of the African-American culture. And that began a threat because he could talk to people. I'm going to tell you, I was at Bryant Park yesterday. I was passing through. Stop by for a moment. One of my students one of my students from New Paltz was there. You know, we passed each other. This was a brother that had pledged the Malik fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
Malik, manhood, achievement, leadership, intellect, and knowledge. There is a, since 1975, there has been a Malik fraternity that has existed. And I was taught, and, you know, we stopped and we talked. He was in the early years. He might have been there around you, Sasha. I'm not sure. But he goes back in the day, and he took my class, and he was also pledging Malik during the time that I was the faculty advisor. Because, you know, nobody could cross Malik without taking my course on Malcolm X. And we talked for a while about, and by the way, although it doesn't make a difference, if I may just say this, is that he was a brother, Publica Dominicana, he was a Dominican brother. And what I found interesting is that the Malik fraternity crosses more brothers from the Dominican Republic than any other. And these are brothers that are down with the culture.
Yep.
And these are brothers that I'm still in contact with. I gave the brother my card yesterday. We talked. He began to explain to me the impact that I was that I had had on him while he was pledging Malik. I understand why they blocked me. I'm not upset. In fact, they did me a favor. They did me a favor when they blocked me.
It shows that you're making a difference, and it shows that you're reaching the public.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I was so honest. I made a bad. I've been blocked. It's a badge of honor.
If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
You might need a sweatshirt. I'm seeing sweatshirts.
Listen. Let me tell you. I was so, that night, I tell you, fam, I felt so good. I really felt good. Of course, now, my chief of staff, of course, my tech skill brother, Harun Nesset, you know, and in fact, I can tell you what happened because I did an Instagram Live today, but I didn't talk about it. But actually what happened is that when I went up and it said something about that I had violated certain terms and that I had to be blocked,
dear.
And they said, see more. When I saw more, they said about, you know, if you say things like as it relates to COVID or the vaccine or the virus. They listed the things that you can't say.
What?
Okay, that you can't talk about. Oh, no, that's
what
they did.
Oh, my God.
And I read it, and then I called Harun Nesset. I said, yo, they blocked me, man. We began to do a mad dash as to what we were going to do. And then he called me back. He said, yo, Dad, here's what you can do. Go to Panther Prince Productions and do your live from there. I'll send a message out on Kaba Kamene that you've been blocked, but go over to Panther Prince Productions. And so that's what I did. And that's how I did the Instagram live. But the thing is that you can't put more than 15 minutes up at a time, so to speak. So what Heru did is that he broke the 32-minute or however long it was into two segments. That's why you were able to see part two and then put it up on the other site. But for about 15 minutes, we were working hard. And you know what happened? I learned something very quickly that I didn't know. And that is what I could do on Panther Prince. They did me a favor by blocking. And I will be forever grateful to them. I will be forever grateful. But you see, the point that I was attempting to make was through the Stolen Legacy. There is a documentary, a very powerful documentary, that's titled Heavy is the Crown. It's a part two to a documentary I was in, Out of Darkness. And so there is an entire segment that deals with the Asarian drama.
Yeah.
And what we thought would be interesting is to just do something on the legacy that was stolen and to demonstrate how our story, the Asarian drama, has been taken and been created into a monomyth. But now, fam, you know, I go into science. I'm not into the emotion of they stole this from us and blah, blah. I want to show you the evidence of it. So I went into a James Joyce book. James Joyce, a very famous novelist. And he wrote a book titled Finnegan's Wake. I even forgot the word wake, and somebody on the stream reminded me of what the full title of the book was, because I said Finnegan something. And somebody came back and said Finnegan's Wake. And so in Finnegan's Wake, he talks about something known as the monomyth, the one myth. And the monomyth is the Asaurian drama, upon which all other dramas, the Greek drama, all this stuff with Denzel Washington, with Macbeth, you can go through all of Shakespeare's work. You can go through all of the stories with the antagonist and the protagonist. You could even look at Othello. That is the Asaurian drama that mixes up the storyline. The thing about this is that here's what Harunasep sent me. He sent me comic book number 74 of Star Wars, which has a figure in it that is called Asar Aset. Okay,
that's
the name of a star.
I was like, what? What?
And the figure is right there on my Instagram Live page. You can see it.
Wow, wow.
And what he did was Asar Aset as a character is androgynous. It is both male and female at the same time by the nature of its name. And
yeah,
that
I was
going to
say,
wow.
Isn't that, aren't they two different genders?
Wow.
Like, Asar is
yes,
the male,
Asar
and Aset is the female.
That's
yeah.
exactly right. And their character is Asar Aset. Both names.
That's
wow.
crazy. That's so crazy.
You see, now you got to go back and you got to do the research. Now, how did this happen? Okay, James Joyce was also someone that the philosopher, scientist by the name of Joseph Campbell focused on. Joseph Campbell was an expert in mythology, European mythology. And Joseph Campbell, in this information, and with George Lucas, who did Star Wars, we find out George Lucas was a student of both James Joyce and Joseph Campbell.
Wow.
This led to a series of interviews on the Bill Moyers program. He had a show on PBS where The Power of Myth, that was the name of it.
Wow.
In the fifth interview, George Lucas gets deep down into the Asaurian drama.
Wow.
Relating it to James Joyce and the monomyth. Now, folks that are listening, all you got to do, don't believe a word I say. Just go back to what I'm telling you. Understand, this is there. This is our legacy. People know it. The problem is we don't. And what they
and
did
they
with Star Wars.
And they want to stop you from knowing it.
That's right. That because they know something, right? You know, like Gil Scott-Heron said in his album Spirit, you know, in his message to the messenger, he was talking to the young rappers at this time, and Gil Scott-Heron said, "They don't know what to tell you, but they know that you do." So he was trying to tell the young rappers, "Look, yo." They don't know how to talk to y'all, but they know that you do. So that's why they're going to co-op rap music and attempt to bring people forward that may not be expressing the thoughts and the ideas that young teenagers ought to be dealing with.
And, you know, but you know what stopped that is social media and people going independent, coming out on their own, not going through record labels, because you can't be silenced going through record labels. Or being on social media to
that's
an extent,
right.
Because they, you see that
right.
they're able to block certain things, but there's ways around everything.
That's right. That's right. And they taught us well.
Yeah, and you see the creativity, and you see the light, and you see just how successful people are without even realizing how successful they are. And then you just see, like, the talent, the God-given talent that people have. And it's just amazing to see that. And sometimes they don't even realize the light that they bring. But people are attracted to them, and they, you know, they're able to hone in on, and they can't be silenced. They're able to do what they're supposed to do, and it can't be silenced because there's no more contracts. There's no more, you know, basically like modern day slavery in a sense, because a lot of the people back in the day who got these 360 deals and these heavy contracts where no matter what they do, the people above them will get paid, and they get paid way more than how much they get paid. That's why you see all of these celebrities, and they're bankrupt and they're broke, and they have nothing to their name, even though they were the biggest stars during their time.
That's it.
It's just amazing.
Because I go back to my books. Sasha, you go back to your books. We didn't have to ask anybody, and particularly you, Sasha.
Right, right.
Because you did everything from the first letter of the book until the production of it. So you're ahead of my game. But the bottom line is, you didn't have to ask anybody for anything.
And that's the scary part.
Yes.
That's the scary part for them.
Absolutely. Because back in the day, you know, you had to get your book published by a publishing house.
Yep.
And also the publishing house had an editor that would edit your work.
Yep.
So if you said something they didn't like, they could edit it. Going back to Gil Noble, the brilliant executive producer of the television show Like It Is that came on ABC in New York with Channel 7. And when Brother Gil joined the Ancestors, when he transitioned, they put up another program that was nowhere near in-depth. I'm going to give the sister credit. I like the program, but it's nowhere near the same content that Gil Noble had. Nowhere near the same. He was an investigative journalist that was able to get in and bring people to the community that no one had ever seen before. And everybody got upset. Now, my thing is, Gil Noble existed pre-internet, pre-YouTube. Okay? Now, you don't need that. In fact, I'd rather not be on the so-called television. I'd rather be on the podcast of the community and all the programs I do. Look at what we're doing right now.
You can't be censored. You can't you can't be manipulated. You can't be told this is what you need to do. Like, everything
be
is
a good
just
boy.
Be
a good girl. Do as I say.
Yep.
Vote for me and I'll set you free. But what's happening now is we own our footprint. We're not held against that anymore. The monster that they created, remember, the Frankenstein monster was created by Dr. Frankenstein. The real monster wasn't the creation. It was the doctor that created it. And instead of putting the good brain in, the intelligent brain in, he put the brain of the criminal in. And the Frankenstein monster got to a point where nobody could control it, including its creator. And that's what this society is. It's the Frankenstein monster. I personally think that this is a very good system. My problem is it's the brain of the criminal that's in it. If you get rid of the criminal brain, you know, I think the fact that children can get up every morning and go into a building and have breakfast and spend 8 hours learning information, have lunch in between, have an after-school program that allows them to continue their knowledge and wisdom with a little snack on the side, I think that's a wonderful system. I don't have a problem with that. It's the food that you're feeding the children I have a problem with.
Yep.
It's the things you're teaching them in class that I have a problem with. I don't have a problem with the structure. I have a problem with the criminal brain that's in it. Once we get rid of that criminal brain and put the intelligent brain in, the structure will work.
Wow. That is a great analogy. I never even thought about that. That is amazing.
Yeah, think about Condé K, you get up every morning, the work that you do. Sasha, you get up every morning. I get up every morning. This system, you know, the fact you can go to get your health needs taken care of. You can go to the supermarket to get food. The system is good. It's the criminal that's running it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Mm.
And that's the Frankenstein story. And that's what Mary Wollstonecraft was trying to say in the story.
What's her name?
Mary Wollstonecraft. She wrote Frankenstein.
What?
She's the author of Frankenstein.
That's her actual name.
Oh, imagine her in kindergarten.
I thought you were joking.
Totally.
Her name is Mary Wollstonecraft or something like that. But if you look up Frankenstein, you'll see her name.
Oh, man.
But that's the message she was trying to say. She was saying that here you have a human that is attempting to be God by creating the human being, not taking into consideration the structure of God's love and respect, and that anything that a man or a woman would create would no doubt eventually turn on them by the very nature of its creation. The monster was not the creation. The monster was the doctor that created it and put the criminal brain in there. And when you look at Frankenstein, remember, he wanted to take the good brain, but there was a noise that happened in the laboratory, and the assistant got scared and dropped the good brain. But because he was mentally challenged, he didn't want to go back to Dr. Frankenstein with nothing, so he picked up the criminal brain. And that's what went into the creation, was the criminal brain. And that's what this civilization is. It is a reflection of the criminality of Indo-European. So straight like that.
Wow.
Simple.
Wow. I mean, that is, but you see, this is why you're so dangerous, Daddy.
Oh, my goodness.
You're able to break down things for the simplest of minds to understand. That's what made you such a great teacher, a little kid teacher, is because you were able to simplify the most complex thing. You're able to simplify it, and that's what scares people.
Yeah.
If people are able to understand what you're saying, get it, understand, and then become better from it, that is a hell of a situation.
Yeah.
But it always scares
and
people
I understand.
That have issues.
You know,
yeah,
I understand why they do
that. Yeah,
You know, I understand. And your grandmother always used to say, Skip, you have a big mouth. But if you want to deal with your enemy, you have to think like your enemy. And I think like them. That's one of the things I said on the Instagram Live today. I think like them. I think of a desperate, insecure, fragile, haunted by an inferiority complex. And I'm around all of the masters of the universe, both male and female. And I'm feeling mighty insecure. And I'm afraid.
Yes.
What am I going to do?
If I were you, I'd do it too.
That's exactly what I say. If I were them, I would do the same exact thing. And once you understand that, then you know what to do. But as long as you're wondering why are they doing this, you'll never come up with your solution. I know why they're doing this. If I were them, I would do the same thing. Let me drop the other shoe, be honest, and then I'm not going to say no more because what I'm about to say is going to be it. Because if I were them, and if I could look back into the past, and I would be able to do something, I would line up every African in America. I'm talking about 1865. I would line up every African in America and shoot them dead.
Oh, dear.
because I would see Kaaba is on the way. And before that brother's going to be born, I'm going to kill every seed and womb that could possibly bring him forward. I would know that Malcolm was on the way. I would know that everybody that has come to us thus far with their story. If I could look back as a person of European descent, I would never let Africans have existed and continued in America. That was their mistake. They let us live. And now there ain't a damn thing they can do about it. Because here now.
Yeah. The more adverse, the more adversity we experience is the stronger we become. It's like viruses. Like you see what happened with COVID. COVID's only getting stronger. And it's
That's because
it's learning to adapt and learning
to
grow and learning to gain strength and learning to, like, learn how to blend in, not look like the enemy, and then do what it needs to get done in order to win. Because it ain't over till we win.
That's it. And it's not the strongest that survive. It's not the survival of the fittest. It's the one that can adapt to new ways. And now let's go back to what happened the other day when they blocked me. When they blocked me, they made me grow. And I learned how to get on anyway. They didn't stop me. I kept on keeping on, realizing it wasn't over till I win. And to win meant I had to do an Instagram Live on Star Wars, and that's what I did. They, because of their arrogant ignorance, they make us get better at our game.
Yeah.
If they just left us. Listen, Kandike and Sasha, back in December of 1993, when Heru was on the way, your mother was in the hospital, Minister Louis Farrakhan came to New York to speak. I brought y'all with me. And before Minister Farrakhan came to speak in New York, the then mayor, Ed Koch, came out and cussed him out and said all sorts of horrible things about him. And said nobody should go to this presentation because he's this. Well, let me tell you something. When that day came and I brought y'all with me, I had to pick you up, Candace, and I held tight to Sasha's hand because thousands of people descended on Jacob Javits Center to hear Minister Farrakhan. Let me tell you, Chaka Khan sang the national anthem for black folk. Okay, here's my point. Later on, Ed Koch said, the biggest mistake I made was to ever mention that speech. Because when I mentioned that speech, I was the best publicity for Minister Farrakhan than if he had spent millions of dollars on commercials. Let me stop here and say this. The night that I was blocked, I gained 3,000 followers.
By that night,
I gained 3,000 followers on Panther Prince Productions. I had like about 800 and something. Or because my main was, my main Instagram account was Kaaba Kamene. But Haruna Set created Panther Prince Productions to do other things as it relates to marketing and things like that. But when they blocked me and they made me go another way, I gained three by that night. That, I did it at 6 o'clock. By that night, midnight, Panther Prince Production had over 3,000 followers.
You have 4,638 right now.
Okay, so it went up even more.
Yep.
And that's because they blocked me. So that's why I say, thank you. Thank you. In fact, let me tell it to you in Africa. Dua, dua, ooh. Let me tell it to you in Kiswahili. Asante sana. Thank you very much. Because in your arrogant ignorance, you're only helping us get better. We got this, fam. All we got to do is do it.
Wow.
We done. We done.
All right. Well, I'm going to pause on that. Everybody's going to be able to absorb that, and we'll be right back.
I'm going back to the south. I'm going back, 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 where my roots ain't watered down. Growing, growing like a baobab tree of life on fertile ground. Ancestor put me on game. Long time on gold chains with my old shoon energy. Just follow me. I'm sweat out of she keep fresh. Hold up, don't I? Tell I? Gotcha. Not chop by instant. Yo, yo, ice, 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 ice. Bust down, let it.
I feel like that song really goes through everything that you were saying, and the hate, and the like the hate comes from the fact that black people are so great.
Yeah,
and that, that's
all
me. Right. I don't think a melanin drip, not even, like, I don't think there's a better way to describe what you said than that song. So I have to play it. I mean, I really am a fan of Beyonce after Lemonade, and you know, because it sounds like that. That's why.
Oh yeah.
Really.
Oh
like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
I just. Did you finish talking about? About the
lies? Yes. I had expressed what I wanted to say. But again, you know, just segueing into y'all, this is your time. This is your generation. And, you know, I just have a lot of respect for what it is because I can see what it is. From my perspective, I can see what it is that your generation is attempting to do. And men, and so many of you have just had enough of this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just time for us to get ourselves together. And I think that y'all are doing an excellent job. You're doing the best you can with what you have. And for that, I respect, and I'm here for whatever it is that I can support your generation from the millennials on down.
That's amazing.
I was just really interested in that because I feel like the topic has always interested me. You know, Daddy, that the topic has always interested me, you know, because the Lion King was one of my favorite movies. It still is one of my favorite movies. So I always found it so fascinating how, like, the story can literally be retold. But the way that it gets retold just sometimes seems so perverted and ungodlike. But we believe it as something that is like the basis of the foundation of everything that we believe in.
Yeah.
And it's disturbing to me that we believe it. Like, there's so many people that will, you know, disown their children and disown family members and hate themselves because they believe something that another fragile human has told them, as opposed to what they see around them. When
yeah.
it comes to, like, you can see God around you better than you can see it in a church. And there's nothing that will ever make me choose a church over what I see around me and the experiences that I have. There's nothing that, but I understand that, you know, we didn't have, and that's something else. Have you talked about that before? Like, have you mentioned that about, like, One of the reasons why black people are so Christian is because, you know, or that's what we were told. Like, if Jesus could do it, so can we. Am I getting that wrong?
In terms of what?
Like, if Jesus can go through everything that he went through, and Jesus still who he is, like, black people can make it through slavery and Jim Crow and everything else. I might be getting it
yes.
wrong though.
No, that, you know, and that's the Judas and the Messiah in us.
Yeah.
That's what the Asarian drama is saying, that in all of us there is the Asar, who is the male image. There is Aset, who is the female image. It is Nebetet, who is the oracle reader, or the one that is grounded in the cosmos that can predict as life will be.
Oh.
And then you have Heru, who is the resurrected. I cited was a book by Kersey Graves, K-E-R-S-E-Y Graves, G-R-A-V-E-S. He wrote a book titled 16 Crucified Saviors, mm-hmm. where he literally showed in 16 different cultures, including the American culture, that there was a Jesus. There was a concept of resurrection of life after this life, there was a concept of life after this. And he cited 16 different cultures around the world that had the same Jesus
oh.
story. And every one of those stories went back to the monomyth of the Asarian drama. They're all based
oh.
in the same. The antagonist, the protagonist, You know, you had the entire story laid out, and that's what the Greek drama came from, Macbeth, okay? You can go through all of Shakespeare's stuff, and all of that is based on the monomyth. It's just the way it is. And that the story of Jesus Christ says that Judas, or the devil, will fall 9 times, but your Messiah will rise 10. That's what I mean when I say keep on keeping on.
Mm.
No matter how many times you fall, rise again. That's what Dr. Maya Angelou meant when she said, with everything we've been through, still we rise. That's the monomyth. We see it all around us all the time. When you wake up in the morning, that's the monomyth. A Saul went to bed, but Heru got up. Same Heru went through the day.
Wow.
Went to bed or died, if you want to look at it metaphorically. Next morning, Heru rose again. It's all around us, whether be you a male or a female. Women are as much a Jesus as men are. It wasn't about the Son of God. It was about the S-U-N of God.
Right.
Which is light and heat energy. It's here in front of us. And, you know, my thing with my brothers and sisters who are in all of these religions, hey, I'm not trying to get you to leave your religion. I ain't got a religion for you to join. All I'm trying to make you do is Africanize it. If you're a Christian, stay Christian, but understand where it came from. It came from the Amen priesthood. If you Hebrew Israelite, stay Hebrew Israelite. Just realize that was the Aten text. Islam came out of the mountains of Ethiopia. I'm not trying to give you a new religion. I'm just trying to get you to understand Indo-Europeans stole your legacy, put their name on it, and now you're worshiping deities that don't even look like you.
Mm.
And if you really want to subjugate a people, you don't have to enslave them and put chains on them. Just change their God. And if they can get you to change your God from looking like you to looking like them, they don't have to put chains on you, because you got chains on your spirit.
Mm. Yep.
And you ain't going nowhere no time soon. Just history,
well,
family.
You gotta know your history.
And that's how you can show how powerful your brain is. Because your brain can either put you into this state of mind or take you out of it. And the fact that we know, and I've said this before, even if you go into a black church and you go into a white church, it's a completely different experience. It's like we know the truth, and we're practicing, and we believe the truth, but our brains are, you know, the cognitive dissonance has made it so that we don't realize that we're good. And, you know, that also made me think about the conversations that we've had about imposter syndrome. Like, we know that these religions came from us, but we don't believe that. Like there was an interview he's not the first person that said it, but it made me think about when Charlemagne was talking to Claude Anderson, and he was on the Breakfast Club, and he said that white ice is colder. Like, we can feel in a black church that it's different from a white church, but we still don't feel good enough to understand that where the original came from. We still have to, even though we follow our own system of belief, we still have to make it seem like it came from them. And that's imposter syndrome, and that makes me understand what you were saying, Daddy, about how black people in America all have it. Because no matter how good, you know, we know that cornrows are a black thing, but it still, for some people, looks better on Kylie Jenner or Kim Kardashian.
Or Bo,
like,
Derek.
We
were just talking about that, Daddy.
Right. We know all of these things. We still don't feel good enough as a people to be able to claim it as our own thing. Like, we still, even though we put our flavor on it, we still feel like it's their thing and that we're following their thing. Like, it's not our thing. Like, we're not good enough for it to be our thing.
When someone wishes to oppress.
Mm-hmm.
I follow you.
No. I don't even remember what I was going to say now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When somebody wishes to oppress you, there are three steps. They give you a myth. They get you to believe the myth. and then you form the habit of believing the myth.
Mm.
And while it's always the last acquired, it's always the hardest to get rid of. Because we know that they are a myth. We know that everything they did is nothing but a sham. We don't believe it no more. But we have become so humanly comfortable in believing the myth,
mm-hmm.
we still hold on to it.
Yep.
And I have to listen to people talk about, well, you know, like when we were talking about, you know, when we talk about God was black or Jesus was black, people say, well, you know, it doesn't make a difference what color Jesus is. And I said, then why don't you put a black Jesus up in your church?
Right.
Why don't you put a black Madonna in your church? If if color doesn't matter. See, it only doesn't matter when we find out the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But they still are so deep inside their own insanity that they say, oh, no, no, no. We're going to leave the Jesus the way it is. But you just told me that it don't make a difference what Jesus looked like. So if you had a white Jesus in your church, why can't a black church have a black Jesus? What problem do you have with that?
Yeah.
And then they all, well, it's another thing. No, it's not another thing. I just caught you in something that you can't answer. We know it. We know that they, we know now, even the staunchest black Christian knows that's what made Nat Turner go off. Nat Turner was there preaching to the people, and then he was watching how the Europeans were acting, and he was saying, but wait a minute, they're not practicing what they're preaching. There's something wrong with this. And so then he came to the realization that they were not worshiping God, they were worshiping the devil, and that he decided that he was going to do something about it because that's what the scripture said. Cast out the demons within. Don't make me go to church on you now. They're such fraud. You talk about frauds. Mm-hmm. They are such a fraud, and they're an embarrassing fraud, but I'd like to say that they should be ashamed of themselves, but they don't have shame. So how can you not have something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have shame to have a sense of shame.
Yep.
They ain't got no sense of shame. They just are shame-filled.
Mm. And never corner a rat.
And never trigger an insane person. It's the only two times a coward will attack you. And right now they're being cornered and they're being triggered. And that's why they act the way they act. They're right up in your face. I'm going to take the vote from you.
Mm.
But on what rights, on what grounds do you have to take the vote? Why are you taking the vote? Because I know that my numbers are dwindling and I know that your numbers are growing and I know that this is going to come a time when I'm going to have to do what you say. And there's no room in my life for me to follow what a melanated person say. So I will cheat if I have to. I will lie if I have to.
Lie, cheat, steal.
And tolerate those who do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who they are.
Well,
but that's who they've always been. They ain't changed. We changed.
Mm-hmm. We just see now.
But did we? But did we? Did we?
We have to.
Yes.
We have no choice.
We did
and I think.
We have a lot more to do.
I think that if we didn't change, we need. Right. If we didn't change, we need to.
Yeah, and we've got a lot to do. We still have a lot to do, but we are not where we should be, but we definitely ain't where we used to be.
Yep.
There
and the first stage of change is to realize that a change needs to be done
there
or change is needed.
Well, all
that's
right.
It. Well, that's, well,
that's well.
That's a positive note of the week.
But people, keep on keeping on. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears to the streets. And just keep learning. Don't believe nothing. Do your
research. Sharpen your eye and tune your ear so you know what you see and understand what you hear.
Understand what
you hear. Minute by minute.
There we go.
Hour by hour, as you lose your history, you lose your power. So sharpen your eye and tune your ear so you know what you see.
Understand what you hear.
There we go.
There goes Jules.
Keep on
there
keeping
go.
On. Take that with you.
That's it.
Because it ain't over until we win. All right.
That's right.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Again, Like I say all the time, hopefully nothing too exciting happens that we need to talk about in the next.
Oh, no, there's always excitement happening.
No, I don't want it. I'm good.
Always
every second that we're breathing,
the point.
We never know what can happen.
Communication, conversation, that's the most important. Doesn't matter what you go through. It matters your ability to get through it.
There we go. You need to stop with these jewels. You write it down in a book and publish it.
Mic drop.
All right, everyone.
Hotep fam.
Hotep family.
Great,
great conversation.
That's right. As always.
See you next time.
You've been real.
And I've you've been regular.
There you go.
All my life I had to fight, nigga. All my life I hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie. You fucked up, but if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the face down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in a twilight. With pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. Now tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster, in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my prices all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like where do we go. Nigga, and we hate po-po, when the killer's dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow. But we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? Alright, nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
What you want? You a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy, I'm your dog. Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I can see the evil, I can tell it. I know it's illegal, I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero, thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a regal, digging in my pocket. In a profit, big enough to feed you. Every day my logic, get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your chico. I don't talk about it, be about it. Every day I sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog, my dog, that's all. Pick back and chat, I suck the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks, so rest assured. My rights, my wrongs, I write till I'm right with God. When you know, we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po, when the killer's dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow. But we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. In my prayers,
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. I didn't want to self-destruct. The evils of Lucy was all around me. So I went running for answers.